Jesus Christ. You know, the shout, we'll all, when we see Jesus, we'll shout for victory. But I tell you, we can shout for victory right now because we're in Jesus Christ if you're saved. And that's victory. And we can shout this morning knowing that we're in Jesus Christ. And we just understand who we are and what we are and whom we are, we would enjoy the Christian life so much more. The knowing the victory is God-giving. The God-giving victory. Wednesday night I preached on one of the enemies that we have. We have the enemy of the world and also the flesh and the devil. And I zeroed in last Wednesday night on the flesh, how the flesh is your enemy. But we have a God-giving victory in Jesus Christ against the flesh. If we would learn these great blessings of the Lord, Pleasant Hill Church would be more than a church that you come to and just worship. It'd be a church, a place that just a way of life. And that's what God intends for His local churches to be, more than just a place to come to the worship and have fellowship. God intends for our local churches to be a way of life. My life centers around the church. Everything determined because of what it means to me. To learn that Jesus Christ loves us and we can serve Him more and more every day. And everything that He has given us, a great blessing. And to understand that you give everything back to Him. And the question is to understand the victory we have in Jesus Christ is to give everything back to the Lord. Jesus Christ did not come to this planet Earth and bathe this planet in blood that we might serve the world and the flesh and the devil. But you know what? He came to make us holy. He came to make us holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, a God-giving victory. From chapter 2, 14, 15, and 16, and some more verses dealing with God-giving victory. And then we're going to zero in this morning over the flesh. I mean, over the devil. God-giving victory. We already have these victory. We have the victory over the flesh and the victory over the world. We have the victory over the devil because of Jesus Christ. God has a plan for your life and a purpose. And that purpose is, we see in these verses, for us to have this victory always, it says, always and in every place. Now, that's hard sometimes. And you're going through difficulties, trials, sickness, and sorrow in the life that we're living. But He says always, and I hope I get to explain this, always, it says, in every place. And this is Paul writing. And you know the condition that Paul had been in many times, been in prison, shipwrecked. He had been stoned, and many things happened to Paul. But he says always in every places. And you say, well, that's impossible. Paul says, as I explained to you Wednesday in the Old Testament, that it's possible we have victory in Jesus Christ. If you don't have victory, it's because you have not appropriated the victory that's already given to us in Christ Jesus. That's where the victory lies at for each and every one of us today. Now, the Bible says, you know, it's a possibility that we fall and get defeated many times, but it's not necessary that we do it. Someone told me this past week, we all sin, we're going to continuously sin. I said, yeah, but we don't have to as Christians. Now, you be honest with yourself, have you sinned lately? You might say, well, no, I hadn't, but you have sinned. And, you know, the Bible says we know that we will do that. But it's not necessary that a child of God sins. Now, we know the weakness that we have of the spirit and the strong flesh that we have, and then we have the devil in the world. We know that we will fall into these categories sometimes, that we will sin. But it's not necessary that we sin. We don't have to sin. So these verses of Scripture here we fixing to read there in 2 Corinthians tells us that, you see, we don't have to. Thank be unto God, because He's given us victory, and the victory over Satan. Now, Satan, I want you to know that you have victory, and I'll explain these words in just a few moments. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, Paul says, now thank be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the sweet perfume or flavor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet fragrance, a sweet perfume of Christ. In them that are saved and to them that perish, to the ones we are the sweet smelling of death and unto death, and to the others savor unto life and to life, and who is sufficient for these things. Let us go again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you here this morning for this opportunity, Lord, to open the Word of God. And Father, we know what you will do with your Word. Father, we just pray it find lodgment to our heart by the Holy Spirit of God to let us know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have nothing to pay back that sin. We have nothing that you want. Simply what you've done on Calvary's cross, Lord, was willing to die to pay the sin debt that we could not pay. Father, we just want to thank you that we have victory now because we are in Christ Jesus and you have victory over the devil. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing this day. Father, for some person here today that's not saved can understand that they need to come to Jesus Christ. Father, and just like they are, that, Lord, that you will clean their life up, the Father, that you will make them holy and righteous in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you now this day and all the privilege that you gave us today. Father, we know what the Holy Spirit will do today, and we just want to thank you and praise you that we're here today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Again there in verse 14, it says, thank be unto God, which calleth us always to triumph in Christ. Now, triumph, as we look back and Paul explained this, now the history, the background of these verses, scriptures, is talking here about maybe in the Romans' custom of that day, that he was living in Rome there. The custom was whenever a general went off to war, a Roman general went off to war, and they had victory over the enemy that they fought now, and they celebrated this. When he come back into the city of Rome, they celebrated this. Now, this is your life in Christ Jesus. This is what Christ has done for every one of us as we open up our eyes today. Whenever a Roman general had won the victory, come back into Rome, they would celebrate that great celebration of victory. They get in the streets. They would build a monument, and the monument would be the Arch of Triumph. Over in the Jerusalem area, there's still an Arch of Triumph, they tell me, whenever old Titus had victory over Jerusalem. Well, they would build this monument, this Arch of this Triumph, whenever, you know, that Titus had victory over Jerusalem, and he burnt and tore up the temple in 70 A.D. They built these triumphs. But then there would be a herald go on through the town there about Rome. He has won. They had no television. They had no radio, had no newspaper. So they had a herald would come in. A young man would be running and say, Rome had won. Rome have won. Rome have won. Well, today, what I'm doing today and what your Sunday school teacher was doing and what all of us do, we're doing the same thing. We're telling you that, you know, that Jesus Christ have won. It says how they are preaching. They preach and they preach and we win. And we heard because I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ have won. He won that victory for every one of us, and I'm announcing this. It says in Romans, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Not just preachers and pastors, that's teachers, that's you and I, that's when we witness on everywhere that we go what we're doing. We're proclaiming that what Jesus Christ has won. Rome would celebrate in the city, making this monument. Now, they'd have flowers and have parades, and you know, they had a bowl of incense they would burn throughout the city. All these incense they had burned, the city be just filled with this sweet smell of this victory they had. I don't know if many of y'all can remember, I'll date myself back a little while, when I used to have Backer warehouses in Blackshear, Georgia, and several of the cities around Georgia. Now, I loved the smell of that Backer. I mean, it was good. If you get too much of it, it smelled good. You could ride by the streets, and you could just smell the aroma of that Backer. Well, if you didn't get in there and get choked to death pretty well, it smelled a little bit good, you know, the smell of that Backer. But I'm telling you, when they had sales day in Blackshear, Georgia, and all those seven going through them warehouses and stirring up that Backer, the whole city of Blackshear smelled like tobacco. I mean, it was a smell that you'll never forget. The whole city smelled like tobacco. Well, that was a victory at that time because that was a cash price of everything that a farmer had just about it was tobacco. That was a victory day, and it smelled like victory when you smell that good tobacco when it's bringing a price that the farmer might be able to pay his bills. It smelled like victory. Well, you see, when the general won this war, and they would ride through the city in a chariot, and the defeated general would be on chain to that chariot wheel, and they'd drag him along behind, naked and stripped of all of his medals, and drag him through that dust. And people, you know what? They would shout, Rome have won! Rome have won! Rome have won! Well, Paul says, thank be unto God who calls us always to triumph. Jesus Christ has done this to the devil for every one of us. And today, what we are saying now, God giving victory for us because of what he done for old Satan himself. Jesus Christ is in the chariot. The devil is chained to the wheels, and Jesus Christ has stripped him. He shamed him. He subdued him. And if we learn, the devil do not want us to learn this. Excuse me. But he has him where he wants him. Jesus Christ has subdued the devil for us. So this dynamic author we have of this victory, as I said, it was a God-giving victory over the flesh. It's a God-giving victory over the devil. It says, because in 14 again, Paul, thank be unto God who causes us always to triumph. And it says, in Jesus. Now, we need to understand that in Jesus. A lot of times, you know, you say, do you have the victory over the devil? You say, yeah, I got the victory over the devil. Well, really, honestly and true, we do not have the victory over the devil. Listen to me. We do not have the victory over the devil. We have the victor, that's Jesus, that have victor over the devil. We're in Jesus. We really have it because Jesus Christ had the victory over the devil. You're no match for the devil. You say, well, we got victory. No, you have the victor. That's Jesus. It had the victor of the devil, what he done to Jesus Christ, because it says in Jesus he subdued the devil. What we have Jesus Christ, and you're in Jesus Christ, and he subdued the devil. So we have victory because what Jesus Christ has done. That's what we have, because what you have, Jesus Christ this morning, the power over the devil. Colossians 2 and 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Well, when the Roman general won, all the people would go through. He's won. Roman has won. We've won. The whole city, a whole nation of Rome have won. We won. When Jesus Christ conquered the devil, it means that you have won. We do the same thing. We've won. Not the victory is going to be ours. It's already ours because you have Jesus Christ. We can say the same thing. We've won. What? Because Jesus Christ subdued the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you what he done to us. These three things, you know, to start with. The Lord delivered you from death. We won whenever he done this. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ done this. You're in Jesus Christ. The Lord delivered us from death. Listen, lost people is not just a sick person that needs help. They are dead people that need life. They're dead. They need a miracle. They need a resurrection. They need a new life. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Now see that Jesus Christ come to put an end to that. There was no way for you to escape. He had you where he wanted you. You had a sin debt to pay. But you see what? He delivered us. The second thing, he delivered us from that debt that we could not pay. Colossians 2 and 13 says, having forgiven you of all your trespasses. You see, we owed a debt of sin. I mean, all of us realize we have sinned. Don't you this morning? Is there a person in here that lived a good enough life that you have never sinned? Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm just a good woman. I'm just a good man. I'm just a good person. But God says there's none good, no, not one, because that means in your flesh, you cannot be good towards God because you have sinned. And you know what? You can't come in contact with a holy God. You can't pray to a God if you're lost. Only thing God will hear is, I'm a lost sinner. God, I need forgiveness. Lord, I just need you to forgive me. Lord, I throw myself on the mercy of Jesus Christ, what he done on Calvary Cross. Now, he'll hear a prayer like that. But a lot of people say, well, I pray all the time. They don't claim to be saved, but they claim they pray all the time. They cannot pray. They don't have anybody to pray through. They have sin. They have nobody. They have no way to get in contact with the Holy God because God will not look upon sin. But what he does whenever we get saved, he don't look upon us, but he looks upon Jesus. Looking in this congregation here this morning, you think God's looking down upon you? Yes, but you what he does? He sees you through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for that, you see, that God would not even look upon us. Why? Because he knows that we are sinners. He's a holy God. We had a sin debt that we could not pay. You know, I think a week or two before, we talked about the handwriting on the wall, Colossians 2 and 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Now, as I told you, when someone had done a crime in Rome, what they would do, you know, they would take right now what he'd done, and if he was sentenced to 10 years, 5 years, whatever, in the prison, they would nail it to that prison door. And when he served that time, he would be out. They would give him that handwrite of ordinance, and it'd be on that handwrite of ordinance paid in full. So they could never put him back in jail or in prison for that same crime again. Paid in full, the handwriting. Well, Paul says, you know what? Paid in full. Whenever Jesus Christ went to the cross, now your sins that were against you, we had the cross you up here a week or two ago, and you know you're writing down all your failures and all that. We need a big piece of paper. I had a small one. We need a big piece for mine. But anyway, you see what Jesus Christ done when he has telestai. That word means paid in full. It is finished. That's my contract with Jesus Christ. He says, my debts are paid in full. John 19:30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Now the devil now, you see, the devil, he has subdued him. And listen, no devil now, he's accused of the brother. In Revelation 12:10, here comes old Satan. And I heard a voice of heaven say, a voice crying in heaven, come. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of the brother, and that's old the devil, is cast down, which was accusing them before our God day and night. Right now that's in Revelation whenever Jesus Christ comes, you know, in his glory. But see, right now, the devil have access to heaven. God, he's accusing you, brothers and sisters, and the Lord Jesus Christ in the body. He's accusing us before God day and night continuously. Continuously bringing accusations against us. But we have an advocate, that is Jesus Christ. Now, here's what happened. Now, today, as I said, he's accusing us before God. He's accusing other brothers. Now, he comes up to me and says, he carries my name up to God. He says, now, God, you know what? You are a holy God. And that person I be, I'm going to tell you what, he sinned. He sinned. And I demand that you flame him into hell for what he's done according to your word. Because you said, you know, the wages of sin is death, and I'm the accusing him because he sinned, and you know he sinned, and I know he sinned, and he knows he sinned, and you know what? He's guilty of sin, and I demand that you fling him into hell because of what your word said. What are you going to do? I have a lawyer. Whew. Advocator. I'm going to tell you, the lawyer stands up. He stands up. 1 John 2:1, and it says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man, any woman, any person sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know what? Romans 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. Now what happens here? He said, well, the devil, I can't get anywhere. I've carried IB's name to God. He knows he's sinned. I know I'm sinned. The devil knows I've sinned. God knows that I sin from time to time. Don't have to. I do because I am weak in the spirit. But anyway, I have sinned. But you see, the devil says, well, I've carried his name up there, and I accused him there before God, and it was the truth what he'd done. But I'm not getting anywhere. There stands up Jesus Christ, stretches his hands out, and he says, Father, don't look at IB, but look at me. Whew! Don't look at IB, look at me. Jesus Christ says, I died for that one. And when you see IB, you see my blood shed for that man. And while I'm the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, so the old devil says, don't look like I'm going to get anywhere of accusing IB towards God because he's got an advocate that makes intercession for him all the time. So I know what I'll do. I'll go down there and I'll torment IB. I'll torment IB. So the devil, he comes down and says, I'll make your life miserable. Then he said, I want you to look at you. I want you to look at all your faults, all your failures in life. What right do you have to stand behind a sacred stand and preach to God's people? What right do you have? I condemn you. You know, and then I pull out my certificate. My sin debt's been paid. I pull out my certificate. Telestai, paid in full for all my sins. I don't stand here before you this morning in the flesh. I'm not worthy to stand. But I stand here this morning because of what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross. And he's making intercession for me. Paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, Colossians 2 and 14. As we think what he has really done for us. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way and it nailed it to the cross. You know what Jesus Christ done, you say, when he went 3 days and three nights? Really, he took our hell on the cross of Calvary. And you know what Jesus Christ done when he was doing that? He went through all humanity of life. He went through all humanity of life, through all the prison cells of life that we have today. And you see, we took the list. You know, I give you that list and you write them down. And you know what? You have a list. You have a list of all your sins. You have a list of how Jesus Christ is walking. He walked through all the list of all the humanity of the world. He says, give me your list. And he says, give me your list. And give me your list. That's what we was doing the other day. We took that handwriting, that list that was against us, that ordinance that we have sinned to come short of the glory of God. He says, give me your list, sir. You say you're not able, you're not willing. He says, give me your list. Here, lady, give me your list. You think you make it? Here, give me your list. I want your list. Please give me your list. Does anybody want to keep their list themselves, or are they willing to give it to Jesus Christ? He says, I want your list. And what he did to that list, as I said, he took and nailed it to the cross of Calvary. He says, it's all paid in full. It's all paid in full. This morning, I'm telling you, if you're under the blood, it's paid in full. That ought to give you some release to know what he's done. The list, everything he says is finished. It's paid in full what Jesus Christ done for us. The third thing there, the Lord delivered you from the devil. He says, all right, in Colossians 2 and 15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them, openly triumph over them. Now you see what he done to the devil. He delivered you from the devil. The spoils, he said. You know, he's having these spoils and principalities. He took all these spoils. You know what? Well, Satan had all these great powers that he had. Power over death. But he said, I've took all these spoils. You see, whenever Titus general went into Jerusalem, what happened to him? He destroyed the temple and he took everything out of Jerusalem and carried it away. All the gold, all the silver. I mean, he just demolished the town. He took everything that they had. Well, you see, devil had power because Adam gave him that power when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus Christ took that power back when on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? He delivered us from that devil. They said the spoils. Satan has been stripped. Satan had been stripped. The strip means, you know what? He was a chief angel, the Lucifer. I mean, he was a chief angel in heaven at one time. But he had been stripped. He was the morning star. But you see, now he fell. And now you see what he is. He is a father of the night. He had been stripped of his power. As we go back to the Roman general, whenever they won. Now also Satan had been ashamed. This is what he's doing with the Roman general, brings this defeated general in behind the chariot. Satan has done this openly for you and I, what he's done for us. You know, he subdued the devil and he stripped him of everything, stripped him and shamed him and subdued him. That's what he's done for him. And he's dragging him now through the streets. This Roman general will do the same thing. Made a shame of him, you see, to make a show of him, to put him to shame. The claim, you know what it had, he'd been chained to the chariot. He made him ashamed. But not only that, Satan has been subdued, triumphed over them in it. Jesus Christ took it to the cross. The things, all these enemies that we have. And this enemy, you see, is death. He had defeat and also the devil himself. And the debt that we owe. But Jesus Christ defeated all these things for us. A God-giving victory in Jesus Christ. And if I don't know an amen needs to go right there, I don't know where it would ever need to go. I mean, he's done that for us in Jesus Christ. The dynamic author of this victory that we have this hour. But look at the arena of this victory also. Because in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, again it says, now thank be unto God, which always called us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. These two words that you see we have to understand here, always in every place. Now there's no time that a Christian shouldn't have victory in all these areas. We should be victorious all the time. You say, well, that's impossible. Paul was writing this. Paul was writing this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and 9 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." In every place, he knew what trouble was. Have you ever been in trouble? I'm on deep, dark trouble. Seemed like there was no light at the end of the tunnel. Paul was, but you see, in distress, but not without hope. Paul always had the hope, no matter what he was in. You know, have you got in trouble lately? Have you been in trouble, some of your family? Wait around, it's coming. You see, a lot of people go to the doctor when they have some problems. And a lot of times it's not good news, is it? A lot of times it's bad news. You know, we have a lot of people on our prayer list that have some bad news. Went to the doctor and have some bad news. I got some bad news to you, for you. And then if that don't happen, you know, there's what we call growing old. You know, growing old. A lot of us can understand what I'm talking about. Growing old, and sometimes you're lonely when you grow old. You know what we don't need to do, and what we do, and I do. We do not need to forsake our older people at church. Not the ones that comes only, but also we do not need to forget about the ones that can't come. Our senior adults. We don't need to forget about them. Ever been lonely? There's a lot of lonely senior adults. Maybe the children have just been ungrateful to them. Maybe there's a lot of them right now, it's in nursing homes or in homes by themselves, and you know, the children have been so ungrateful. Maybe they look for a mailbox and you see there's never no letter in it from their loved ones. Maybe they're sitting by their telephone and waiting for some of their children to call them, but there's no ring. Maybe you know what, you just need a job, and I'm going to tell you, just down and out, and just seem like jobs is getting harder to find and to make provisions for your family. But you see, sometimes it hits us even closer home to our heart, maybe sometimes your kids. Sickness, maybe drugs, alcohol, they just go on and on with our kids. Paul says two things. He says, always in every place. How am I going to do that? How are we going to do that? Because see, the old devil knows whenever we go through these things, you know, when we wrestle with him, you know, he said, "I got you pinned to the mat. Don't look like there's no way out. I got you pinned to the mat." But Jesus Christ comes and he lifts us up. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, perplexed but not despaired. God specialized in uncrossable rivers. Paul went through more probably than what any of us will ever go through. But listen to what old Paul says. Persecuted but not forsaken. We have enemies. I'm going to tell you, we have a cultural war against Christians in this country. The White House is against Christians. I'm on Supreme Court House is against Christians. We are the minority of this country. We're growing smaller all the time. And I'm going to tell you, we have a war on Christians this day. Cast down, he says, but not destroyed. Oh, I've been knocked down many times. You've been knocked down. If you hadn't, you will be knocked down. And no, Satan's counting. One, two, three, he's fixing to count us out. But Jesus Christ comes along, 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Again, as we see, he says, "Now thank be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, making manifest the savor of his knowledge in every places." I'm going to tell you what he's done for us. He brings us back up again, always in every place. But then the delightful aroma of this victory, as we smell the victory of this great victory in Christ Jesus, of what he's done for us. And we find again in Colossians 2 and 15 and also in 2 Corinthians 2 and 15. I'll read this one verse of Scripture. "For we are unto God a sweet flavor, a sweet odor unto God of Christ, in them that saved and them that perished." What's he talking about now as we see here? Well, the knowledge in every place we see, every place we've been. And all of our adversities, we praise God as we stand in victory. Our lives have become perfume. You see, we've been through, a lot of people have been through many things. There's loss of loved ones, and you give God the victory. You know, we've been through sickness, and your family been through sickness, and yet you praise God. And that brings a sweet flavor unto God when we do these things. No matter what problem or conditions you in, you know, to give God the pleasure and, of just praising Him in the honor that God really demands. In Acts, we go into Acts when Paul and Silas was in a revival in Acts. We find out they was in revival at Philippi. In Acts chapter 16 and 25, when they began to preach, they caught them and threw them in jail. It says there in 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, picture the type of prison they're in. And Paul says, always at every place that you give praise, and I'm going to tell you, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Now, think about this type of prison. It's not the prison doors that you find in our society where they have air conditioning and, you know what, they have television and everything they need and plenty of food. They was in a hole in the ground. Maybe only this light come in was maybe a crack, maybe in the wall or a little crack at top. And they had no running water. They had no bathroom facilities. You see, what happened to this ship was stranded out of the ocean. And you know what? All the bathroom facilities were stopped up. And this was what Paul was living in, him and Silas. And they was there in prison. Now, the prisoners I heard cussing. I mean, they heard all this different type of words in that prison. But they never heard anybody singing praise unto God. They never heard that before. Listen, all through the prison, God called us triumph always and in every place. Singing and praising. Sweet smell unto God begin to rise. God there on the throne. God sitting on the throne there in heaven. You see, and a sweet smell begin to rise up before the Father in heaven because of these praise of what Paul and Silas was doing. You know what he says? He said, earthquake, angel, go down there and shake that prison. And I tell you, they were singing, and that was Jailhouse Rock for the first time. They were singing. In Acts chapter 16 and 26, what it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands was loosing. All the jailer woke up, man. He said, all the prisoners are going to escape. And at that time, if you let them escape, you was put to death yourself. All he said, I'm going to pull the sword and kill myself because I'm going to be put to death anyway. And then Acts chapter 16 and 28, Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Because we're all here. The jailer saw the work of God in that jail. In Acts 16 and 30 it says, and he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? You see, the person that was dead, now he's going to come alive again because of the praises and the songs of Paul and Silas. A sweet smell unto God, what they was doing, giving God the praise always and every place. You see, you are a sweet perfume to God. And also 2 Corinthians 2 and 16 said, To the one, we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other, we are savior of life and life, and who is sufficient for all things. You are sweet perfume to God. And I'm telling you, you might not think of yourself very much this morning, but I'm going to tell you what, if you in Christ Jesus, you are a sweet smell to God. You are a perfume to God in the life that you live. Because you're here today, and by hearing, you know what you're doing? You're telling this world, you know what Jesus Christ means to you. By being here, every time that you're present at this church, or wherever you might be a church member, you are telling the people of this world, and also you're telling God how much God means to you for being here. You are a sweet smell to God. But not only that, you're telling other people how much they mean to you. You see, whenever we meet here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, where everyone that's here, everybody that comes, we're telling one another how much you mean to me, how much you mean to me, how much you mean to me, how much you mean to me. Everybody in this church, when I see you, you're saying how much you mean to me, and I'm saying how much I mean to you. Don't miss a service. Don't miss a service because you're saying when you're here how much you love God and how much you appreciate God and how much you love and appreciate one another because you are a sweet odor unto God, a sweet perfume unto God because of your life. Don't ever think that Satan's got you down because, you see, he'll never be able to count you out. He might get up to 9 sometime, but he'll never be able to say 10 and count you out because Jesus Christ is always there to lift you back up. I'm going to tell you what, you're somebody. We don't have the victory over the devil. We have the victor. That's Jesus. Not just over the devil, but he's over everything. He's high and he's lifted up over everything because of what he's done for you. Now, if there's a person here today, I'm going to tell you, there's never accepted Jesus Christ. Satan still has you where he wants you. I'm going to tell you, if you think that you can make it without Jesus Christ, you can't make it without Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. If we come down, Ray, with a song of invitation, what God's going to do here this hour, he's opening up the doors of heaven. Now, you see, he's waiting now for that person. Maybe he might be here this day. Maybe it's never accepted. He might be waiting for that person that's coming now, you see, wants to rededicate his life. You know what? If you're not as close to God as you ever been, you know whose fault is it? It's yours. You know, a lot of times, I want you to admit with me now, sometimes in your life you admit that you're not as close to God as you really ought to be. And sometimes God don't feel like he's as close to you as he ought to be. He hadn't moved. You have. How do you get that back? Well, you know what you do? Sometimes, he says, we put us on the altar. You know what? Your body is a living sacrifice. And what happens from time to time in our Christian life, that we're on that sacrifice, and sometimes we'll slide off to one side. We'll slide off to one side. See, there's a lot of things in my life I've given to God. I give them to him, and then every once in a while, I'll reach and I take some of them back. I'll take some of them back. You see, I want this one back. And I want this from that. When you start doing that, and you probably have, and you probably will, when you start doing this, you know what you do? You're walking further away from the Lord. How do you get back? You start giving those things back to him that you took away from him to start with, because it says there, well, we have these flesh hooks. Whenever that sacrifice was on, all it was flesh hooks, and they'd reach over there and get that flesh, and they'd pull it back on the center altar. When you pull back on the center altar, what you're doing, saying, God, you can have my life back. You see, there's the money that I hadn't been paying you. The 10% of where you start. All of us, you know, God commands us to give our tithes of 10% of everything that comes in. Well, that may not be given that. Well, Lord, here it is. Well, maybe you know your time. How about your time? How about your talent? What if you're giving to God and you then turn around and took it back? Yeah, we're guilty. We're guilty. I can see it on your faces, every one of us. A lot of time we'll take them things back. We'll take this one back. If we're not careful, you keep taking back what we're doing. Every time you take one of them back, you know what? You're walking further and further away from the Lord. You want to get back to center. You get back and give those things back to him that you gave him to start with. You know what he requires of us? That we give him everything. Our life. Because your life don't belong to you. It's been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He owns you anyway. It's just whether you decide to give him everything or not. He's waiting this morning. Every stand for an invitation here today. Brother Ray.